Welcome to the Approaching the Natural podcast with Sid Garza-Hillman and sponsored by the Stanford Inn Eco Resort on the Mendocino coast of California. Sid is a certified nutritionist, health coach, and author of Approaching the Natural, a health manifesto, out now on Roundtree Press. Sid is also the programs director at the Stanford Inn's Mendocino Center for Living Well, one of the most holistic and integrated wellness centers in the country. The Approaching the Natural podcast explores all aspects of human health, including nutrition, movement, mindfulness, art, and much more.
Hello, small steppers. This is Sid Garza-Hillman, and you are listening to the Approaching the Natural podcast, where each week I come on here and discuss my philosophy of health and happiness and my approach to greater health and happiness in your lives. I'm the small step advocate. So if you're just joining me for the first time, glad you're here. Buckle in and come along for the ride. If you just write off, and this is called bad marketing, if you're here to hear a diet prescription or recommendations on how to count calories to lose weight, this ain't for you, baby. And there's plenty of places for you to go to and check it out, man. But you know what? Or check out what we got going on here. You are by hitting play on your app / laptop / Commodore 64 are embarking on a small step journey. And I am here to buck the trends of diets and quick fixes and to hopefully instill in all of my listeners a sense of awareness and greater attention to their lives in this crazy modern world that we're living in, to help live a little more naturally in this unnatural world, because I believe that we can do that, first of all, that we can bring in a little bit of more of what's natural to us. And secondly, that when we do, we do a lot better here. And so that's kind of, you know, nutshell. All right, see you next week. No, I got stuff to deal with, okay? I got stuff to go through this week, okay? As usual. So again, buckle in. All right, so a couple quick announcements. Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. I don't know what that, Facebook? Does that sound familiar to you guys? Sid Garza-Hillman. Free chapter on my website, sidgarzahillman.com. You can get a free chapter of my book. And you can get t-shirts. I got more merch coming. Okay, look. You know the policy of me, if you've been here with me. And if you haven't, by the way, ooh, okay, so you guys should know this. This is episode 54. So here's what I didn't really get, but now I kind of get. iTunes only features the most recent 50. And I actually don't even know about Stitcher or anywhere else this podcast is. But if you're kind of an iTunes person, you're now it's like the most recent 50. So the first four aren't happening anymore. I think you can still get those through my website, sidgarzahillman.com. But if not, you know, just be aware. So if there's anything you want to go back and revisit, that'd be great. I'm assuming in another 50, I'll probably whip up some sort of free app that you can get all the episodes. It's what the kids are doing. So until that time, do revisit the old episodes and check them out, man, you know? So that's the first kind of announcement type of thing. But I do have some merch going. So my policy, and I've said it before, I don't sell anything. So what I should probably clarify is I don't sell any like supplements or anything like that. When I talk to you about something like gynostemmitea that I've, you know, recommended before, I'll just tell you where I get it. I'm not attached to any companies that sell those things, and I don't sell them myself. I don't have a problem with it per se. It's just not my bag, okay? However, there are things that are not health related, like my t-shirt. Now, if you buy my t-shirt, will you become healthier and happier? Probably. You know, it's hard for me. It's a correlation. I haven't established causation yet. Okay. The studies are out there. They're informal. I'm investing a lot of money for double blinds on these. Okay. Awesome single malt. It's a 12 year, but it's a double wood finish, which is, that's kind of my thing. Who knew? Anyway, so I got t-shirts for sale. I got these little, I'll announce those later. I got mugs. Are you kidding me? Coffee mugs? Seriously? Yes. And you can even put tea in them. Okay. YouTube channel, Sid Garza-Hillman. Okay. So last week I mentioned that that I was in theory speaking at the World Veg Fest in San Francisco, California. And that was in theory. when in fact I am speaking at the World Veg Fest in San Francisco on Sunday, October 12th at 1 p.m. in the main auditorium. That's the World Veg Fest, the San Francisco, basically, Veg Fest. And that the website is worldvegfest.com. I think tickets are like 10 bucks, man. It's like ridiculous. Come, bring your copy of my book. I'll sign it for you, and I'll say hi. And anyway, so that's Sunday, October 12th, 1 p.m., Pacific Standard. If you're in San Francisco, Pacific Standard doesn't really make that much difference. Okay, what else? As always, throw me an iTunes review if you dig this. Okay, there's my beginning of the podcast announcements. Okay, so I got a few things. Okay, but not really announcement kind of things. Okay, so Stanford Inn, okay, sponsors this podcast in the sense that they set me up to do this, and Jen and Jeff are very supportive of this podcast. You can get to the Stanford Inn by stanfordinn.com or the Wellness Center there that I head up. And that's livingwellmendocino.com. We have retreats, add-on packages. You can take classes with me and learn to cook and all gardening and all sorts of cool stuff. So get on in there if that's something of interest to you. On that note, if you guys caught my, I can't remember what episode it was. Might have been 51. I don't remember. Anyway, my episode with Joshua Ketcher. He's the discerning brute and has the company Brave Gentleman, which does sustainable fashion. We had a really interesting conversation. I've gotten a lot of good feedback about that, by the way. But guess where he is tonight? The Stanford Inn. So he came up with his partner, James, and they are staying at the Stanford Inn for a couple nights. And I met him in person today. How cool is that? So when I did the interview, he was in New York. And so obviously didn't, meet him in person then. And so that's the beauty of that technology, is that I was able to interview him from afar. And now via the technology of airplanes, which I just learned about. Apparently that's a new technology that we can fly. Whoa, that's insane. He's out at the Stanford Inn. So we got to chat today. We're going to hang out tomorrow and I'm going to show him around a little bit. Anyway, so kind of cool. Really nice to meet him. Really good guy. But I already knew that. Okay. All right. I try to revisit my meditation step that I added for myself. And I'm also going to talk about my coffee step. Now, I want to be clear with everybody when you're listening to this podcast and when I talk about things like my meditation step, my journaling step, my minimizing coffee step. It is two things. One, it's not a step that I'm saying you guys should do. Okay, it has nothing to do with that. It's you may, but it's not saying, I'm not talking about the virtues of journaling per se. I'm sharing with you my experience in my own life with my philosophy of health and happiness, because I practice what I preach. It's very important to me to do that. To live the example is first and foremost. And I'm speaking on that, by the way, at the World Veg Fest. That is the theme of the talk that I'm giving, and what I'm doing with Jeff Stanford is being an example in the world. Okay? All right. Secondly, it is basically to illustrate how this process happens, because I talk about big ideas here. Okay. If you've heard any more than even one episode, that this is an idea podcast. I am dedicated to bucking the trends of quick fixes and diets because they're not about ideas. They are giving you a plan that you follow and usually don't stick to. I'm not interested in that at all. There's thousands of books and podcasts and programs and DVDs and CDs you can get. And if that is fun for you, excellent. I've got no problem with that at all. In fact, it's not like they're mutually exclusive to this podcast, but this podcast is not that. There's enough of that. I got that. When I wrote my book, people were like, oh, you're going to do a diet book? I was like, never in a million years. It's not my bag. Okay. It's not a bad thing. It's just not my thing. I don't think that diet books per se are effective, even though many of them I find nutritionally totally sound, but my philosophy of health and happiness is way huger than nutrition. I am a certified nutritionist, but if you have heard any more than one episode of this podcast, you'll know that the food part of this podcast is very minimal, okay? It's a bigger picture of how to live better in the modern world, really how to get down to this. And so when I share with you the small steps that I am doing myself, it's because I want to illustrate this process. I did an episode called Stay in the Game. This is staying in the game. This is no matter what is happening in your life, no matter what is going on with you, your job, your relationships, travel, education, whatever, you can stay in this process. You can be part of the small step process, which is assessment of your life, noticing things about yourself that you might want to change or adjust or just tweak. It's not going all or nothing. It's the opposite of going all or nothing. It is just being in a place, learning over time to be in a place day to day where you come at your life like this. No matter what's happening to me today, I'm going to do the best I can for myself. It's that simple. Because your body, and this is why I come at this like this, okay, by the way. My book is called Approaching the Natural. It is based on the natural design of our bodies and minds, I argue. So it's this idea of appealing to this natural design, to this way that we're built as a species. And guess what your body does every day. Your body also every day says, not in English or Italian or German, maybe French. Look, I don't know. But the French somehow got it dialed in. I don't even know. So maybe our bodies are French. Look, you tell me. The body says every day, I'm going to do the best I can no matter what happens. Okay? Now, we both all know that the body isn't actually saying it. The body's just doing that. The body is getting up every day, and actually even while we're sleeping, doing the best it can no matter what the circumstance. Okay? I just taught a class today, and I say it in every class and most of these podcast episodes. The body will do the best it can no matter the circumstance. We can change the circumstance. We, the personalities of us, the personalities of, you know, just that, whatever that is, I don't even know, I'm not even going to define it. But the thing that is talking right now, me talking, I can change the circumstance for my body. I can get in the car right now and go to McDonald's and buy a Big Mac. You know the drill. Large fries, 6-piece chicken nugget, barbecue sauce, mustard, hot mustard. Okay, little dip of the mustard, same piece, goes in the, dunks in the barbecue. Okay, that's going to change the circumstance for my body. I have that ability to do that. And when I do that, my body is going to say, okay, well, if that's what I got to do with, I'm going to do the best I can for that. Same thing, I can go in the car and get a bunch of fruits and vegetables and come home and eat a whole huge salad. And the body goes, okay, I'm going to do the best I can with this circumstance. We can create circumstances by which our bodies have an easier time doing the best they can. But here's the deal. We can also, the personalities of us, create circumstances for our lives where we, the personalities of us, can do the best we can a lot easier too. That's where the things like journaling come in and meditation come in and, you know, light or balanced exercise comes in, art, creativity, socialization, things that create our lives for ourselves that are easier for us to do the best we can. Getting good sleep makes it easier for us to do the best we can in our lives. And so it is, in my opinion, it is appealing to this natural design that we're already hardwired with it. So I'm going, if the body is so smart enough to know that it does the best it can in any circumstance, then maybe I should kind of take a listen and apply that kind of drive to my own life. And that's what I'm trying to communicate to you through this podcast, which is to teach you and my clients and the people I teach in classes how over time to incorporate a thinking and a backdrop to their lives of getting up in the morning and saying, I'm going to do the best I can in any circumstance today. And here's where diets don't work, and they can't work. Look, it's not even the fault of the diets. Like, they, again, I've said this before, they don't know you. Training plans don't know you. Exercise DVDs don't know you. They don't know when you have a job change or you travel. But you know you. And if you can learn that you don't have to stick to something every day, no matter what your circumstance, you're going to be happier in your life. But if you think, no matter what I'm doing on Thursday, I've got to stick to this plan and this meal and this calorie count and this fat grams and these milligrams of calcium and these international units of vitamin D and this exercise plan, no matter what happens on Thursday, then you're heading for failure. And you're heading for a life that is not of, it's not as fun and valuable and joyful and fulfilling. Now, if you're militant about your exercise program and you're going to do it no matter what on Thursday, maybe you get to a point where your body is really strong because you hit that weight room no matter what your circumstance is on Thursday, but you're not necessarily going to be happy doing that. And that's why this is a podcast of health and happiness, okay? It is very, very easy to lose weight. It is very, very easy to gain muscle. I'm a certified nutritionist. If I were just going to do that, I could tell everybody here how to lose weight. It's very, very simple. It's very simple how to lose weight. It's a very simple equation, but there's a couple things missing from this picture. One, how to be healthy. Two, how to maintain this over time. Three, how to not add stress to your life in the process of losing weight or gaining muscle or whatever it is you want to do with your body. And I need everybody to understand that week to week is that I'm looking at stress. I'm looking at chronic stress that weakens our human body. Our human body has a stress response that is designed for short-term stress and does not do well under long-term stress. I've made the analogy with the military, and I'm sticking with that analogy. The military can't sustain prolonged attack. Our bodies can't sustain prolonged stress. We need time, like our military, to take a break, retrain, regroup, to get ready for the next attack or the next war or whatever that is. Same thing with our bodies. Our bodies have to be able to recalibrate, to take time to clean, organize, get our ducks in a row in the event of another attack or another stress. And yet, excuse me, in the modern world, we are under constant attack. We are angry that somebody's not calling us back on the phone. We're sitting in traffic on the way to work and we're angry and stressed about the traffic. We have social obligations that we, under many circumstances, probably wouldn't go to, but we feel obligated, and so we have to go to these things, and it's not even the hour or two that we go to those things, it's the 3 days before where we're going, oh man, I so do not want to go to this thing on Thursday. You know, Uncle Morty, you know, why do we got to do this? Well, it's Uncle Morty. We got to do it for Uncle Morty. You know, and then you're stressed about it for 3 days. 3 days of expended energy for a two-hour thing. And that's just what we do in the modern world. But we have to understand that there is a price to pay for this energy expenditure. There is a price to pay for this energy expenditure. And when we minimize that price, the better we do. Now, you might just be stressed about that Uncle Morty's party. Okay, I've been there. I know what it is. He does not get the right kind of corn chips. He gets the baked corn chips. Now, if I'm going to go to a party, I don't want baked corn chips. Are they better than fried oiled? Of course. But Uncle Morty knows better. Okay? And his salsa is not spicy enough. Mm. I've said that before. But we're stressed about it. And we think about it. And we dread it. And we have this thing on our calendar. And we eventually go. And we get through it, and we usually say, it wasn't so bad. But it's modern world living. These are modern world, and usually first world, but modern world problems. Okay, modern world stresses. So what do? We look at our lives through the small step process, and we say, okay, I need to minimize my stress. I need to do the best that I can under any circumstance. And while my body is doing that, can I change the circumstance of my life such that my body can do its job better, so that it can be healthier, so that when I experience the world in no other way except through this body, I can do that better if my body's cleaner, more efficient, and under less stress. My muscle tension is less stress. My cholesterol is lowered because I'm under less stress. My blood pressure is lowered because I'm under less stress. I'm holding less fat around my midsection because I'm less stressed. And so I fill in the little crevices of my life, the stress of the Uncle Morty's party. And I don't want to harp on Uncle Morty. He's actually a pretty good guy. Okay. He loaned me $20 one time and I never even paid him back. I didn't pay him back. We can fill in the little crevices in our lives of, well, I'm going to fill out the stress of my XYZ job, whatever, with a little bit of light walking in the morning, deep breathing. That kind of allows me to center myself. I have my clients, and they'll attest to this, by the way. One of the first steps that I recommend they add during their time with me is to text me first thing in the morning, no matter when they wake up. And the purpose of that text is so that it's really not even about the text, and I'll get into that in a second, but it's the moment where they wake up first thing in the morning, and I want the first thing that comes in their brain not, oh, I got to do this and this and this, and I got to get it, and the kids, and the carpool, and everything else, and the job, and the report. The first thing that they, in their brain, which is what I train them to do, is what's the best thing I can do for myself today? What do I have going on today, and how can I negotiate that the best way possible? That's one of the things that I have my clients do. And then the next step is for them to text me at the end of the day too. And this is something I urge you all to do, by the way, not to text me because I can't have thousands of texts. Okay, I can't unless they're, you know, I'm not Britney Spears for crying out loud. Okay, I wish I were Taylor Swift, but that's a whole nother podcast. I'm not even going to go there. Have you guys heard the new Taylor Swift song? She just keeps getting better. I don't even know how that's possible. Okay. But with that said, the steps of texting in the morning, texting at night are basically to bookend the day with thinking about yourself and your well-being, how you enter the world, how you enter the world. And the end of the day text, the coaching is, and I'm giving this to you now, is also to think about your life, think about the work you want to do, think about the changes you want to make, and learn over time to even look back at your day and see where maybe you were in conflict with who you truly are. But here's the real lesson. The real lesson is you learn to look at that without a judgment call, without, oh, I messed up, but more of a, and this is going to get into a little bit of what the subject of this week's podcast is, but a little bit more of a, oh, that's interesting. In that circumstance, I didn't do that well. At 3, I was really tired and fatigued, and so I did XYZ that I wish I hadn't done. Huh. So now I know that maybe tomorrow I try to get more sleep, first of all, or maybe I set an alarm on my phone because, you know, Joe Johnson brings donuts every day, and he shows up at 3. And if I'm fatigued, I freaking eat the donuts, and I don't want to eat the donuts. Okay, now they're old fashioned and they've got a little maple on them. That's the best donut. Okay, that's the chicken McNugget of donuts. Okay? Mm. But you learn. And the small step approach to health and happiness is one of learning about yourself. It's one of learning about yourself. It's one of creating a circumstance where you learn to do the best you can in any circumstance. And here's the kind of the noodle twister. Sometimes doing the best you can for yourself is doing things that are purely for pleasure because that's appropriate given that day. It has nothing to do with a diet. Okay? It has to do with I've been eating really well most of my time. I listen to Sid's podcast. I dialed in my MOT, my most of the time. And today there's a party and I'm going to freaking, you know, have some fun with food. Because it's in a balance in the rest of my life where it's not going to debilitate because I understand that it really, your body adjusts to what you do most of the time. And my most of the time's freaking dialed in. So today, the best thing I can do for myself is to let loose a little bit in ways that are not in conflict for me. Okay? I eat really, really well most of the time. I am squarely in the heavy box realm. Okay? Tomorrow, I could go in and have a Big Mac and 6-piece chicken nugget, large fries, and a Coke. Okay? I could go do that, and it would not upset the health of me at all. Now, why don't I do that now and then? For reasons completely other than nutrition. Because I would be in conflict about that choice in my life, and so there's no problem for me. I don't as much as I like miss, I can kind of like remember the taste of the Big Mac and the smell. But the fact of the matter is, there's no conflict for me. At any given day, I could drive through McDonald's and get that exact meal. It's the cheapest thing in the world, okay? But I don't for other reasons than nutritional. But that's just me, okay? So the whole small step thing is one of learning. It's one of when you begin that process and the small steps keeps you in that process, then you learn about yourself in that process. And because you are taking on small steps and excuse me if I'm crackling this microphone. I have a new microphone and it's kind of weird. So I might switch and not do this next week. Anyway, bear with me. It's learning about yourself, learning what you can handle, testing the waters, okay? When you get used to the small step approach, you get less afraid of trying new things because you always know how to set your step at a level that is manageable for you and not intimidating. It's the one word on a piece of paper that I did when I began journaling. It's the one deep breath that I incorporated when I wanted to start meditating. It's learning what you can handle, building on that, and then building self-confidence because you're building in new behaviors. So one of the things, like in my meditation step, for instance, is I'm really happy that I've done this because now I'm training for my 50 miler and I'm realizing how crucially important breathing is. So it kind of worked out perfectly that I've been meditating now because I am listening to my breath, paying more attention to that. And one thing I'm learning that is on a few different things with the 50 is that pacing is super important. And if you follow this podcast, you know that I've had some pacing issues, right? On my marathons, I've kind of started out too fast, and I'm not like a super fast runner, but too fast for me, and I burn out. Well, I can't afford to do that on a 50. On a 50, you don't finish, okay? Good lesson for me, how to pace myself, okay? The other thing that I'm learning is how crucial breathing is and keeping your body at the lowest stress possible because you need oxygen in a heavy-duty way in a 50-miler because you are having to train your body. This is what I'm training during this time until my race. I'm training my body to use fat as an energy source more than carbohydrate, or at least in line with carbohydrate, okay? So what happens in like high-stress exercises, you're ripping through the carbohydrate, the glycogen stores in your muscles. When you do low-stress activity, and interesting, by the way, that this is kind of also about stress, but when you do low stress activity, so what I'm doing is training right now, I'm adding miles, but at very slow pace. My heart rate is not spiking. I did 7 miles today. It was as if I had walked a mile. I was literally not out of breath at all, not sore, like nothing. It was zero stress. I'm like floating around. I'm like, think of my mind's wandering. Like it's literally, okay? I'm training my body because it's low heart rate and low stress to better, more efficiently utilize fat because that is a longer term energy source over time. That's what I'm training my body to do. I have 6 months and I'm already in pretty good shape in terms of the mileage I can put in. I have 6 months. That's how long I'm taking it. Longer than most people even train for these things. And I'm taking it totally easy. So the meditation step that I added, not even thinking about the run, has turned out to be really a great thing for me because I'm working on paying attention to my breath anyway, and now I'm doing that with the training. Okay, so it worked out quite well. Okay, I bet you're happy for me. Okay, one thing I wanted to touch upon too, and I'm sorry I got off on the thing, but again, that's why I share with you my steps because I want you to see how you never have to be out of the game. You never have to stop thinking about your life, no matter what your life is. You just have to be able to learn how to assess whatever circumstance you're in and say, well, what's the best thing I can do now? What's the best thing I can do now? And you do that. And sometimes it's for pure pleasure. So the best thing you can do is like, I just need a friggin' break. And that's okay too. And there's no failure about that. Okay? All right. One thing I wanted to talk about was hydration through food. Now, I've talked about this before, but kind of like this has come up a few times. Sometimes when I'm teaching classes, like I did a talk for this county education organization last week, and one of the questions was, what do you think about raw food? And I get that question a lot. And like most things, it's not as simple as like raw food, okay? Because in the raw food, quote unquote, raw food world, there's not even, I mean, most of that technically is not even raw. It's dehydrated, and it's dehydrated at under 118 degrees. And so they argue that the enzymes are maintained. They're not killed off at 118 degrees, which is probably true. I'm a little on the fence as to whether the enzymes that are maintained actually survive and do, you know, a huge amount of benefit. Look, I'm not anti-raw food at all. The problem is that they're dehydrating things, they're taking the water out of things, and a lot of the raw food, the sort of traditional in this country now raw food, is like heavy-duty nuts and seeds. To me, way higher in fat. Don't even take a note on that, because again, this is not part of the, so like I don't want anybody going, okay, well, that's it, I got to stop eating the XYZ. Again, the important part of this podcast and my approach is to learn things, but then the execution of that is to ease your way into those things, okay? When you go from 0 to 60, you add stress to your life. That's not what I'm about here. I want you to kind of learn. I'm going to touch on nutrition things, but take a deep breath and don't change anything around, but just understand, okay? All right. I'm way more focused on hydration through food than I am whether the food is technically raw and technically has the enzymes that are still in it, okay? I am way more interested in the water content of the food. And by that I mean, are you eating food that hydrates you while you eat it? Because dehydrated nuts and seeds, while technically raw, because somebody did a test and found out that under 118 degrees the enzymes are still active, is still a more of a stress on your body because the water has been sucked out of it. And we can slam all the bottles of water that we want per day, but there is a fact, which is that when hydration comes as part of the food, this is why animals, you know, gorillas don't spend time walking through the forest trying to grab 8 ounces of water every day. I mean, this is what we've done. 8 ounces of water. I don't care how tall or short you are, how heavy you are. Everybody needs 8 glasses of 8 ounces of water. Eight glasses of 8 ounces. Okay, that's just for every human being, no matter what size, no matter where you live. Okay, just period. That's what you need. Okay. Now, again, they're trying to be responsible and they're trying to do an average, and I get it. But let's be a little bit smarter here. Let's, again, the message always of these kinds of rules is that the body isn't smart enough to determine when it needs water. I mean, our bodies are stupid. We think our bodies can't do things, and so we think we need to count protein grams and carbs and fat, and we need to take pills of every isolated nutrient because we don't think that our bodies or Mother Nature are smart enough. Meanwhile, wild animals are looking at us like we're freaking insane. Wild animals are going like, I just ate the stuff that you took into a laboratory and isolated the stuff out of. Why did you do that? You could have just eaten the thing that I just ate, and I'm going to just be stronger than you are. And not get sick as much as you do, but, and not be overweight. So, okay, but yeah, no, go ahead, isolate all that stuff. Mm. But usually it's to sell, right? Usually we're isolating things because, you know, we might put on the bottle or the policy and the law that we're trying to help people. But the fact of the matter is the best way we could help people would be to have heavy box foods readily available to everybody. We don't need things in jars if we've got heavy box foods. We don't need pills and powders if we have heavy box foods. And by the way, foods that have water still as part of them. Now, do I eat cooked food? Yes. But again, I make sure this is me. I want to be, okay, look, this is me. Okay? This may not be you. May not ever be you. But for me, especially because I'm a runner, I find that when I am eating hydrating foods, when I'm eating foods that have water in the food, my body assimilates that better. My skin is better. My ability to run and sustain is better. I don't drink a ton of water, okay? When I eat mostly cooked foods, guess what? I drink a ton of water. my body, I feel thirsty. I feel freaking thirsty. But when I'm eating my bananas and I'm eating my huge salads like I did tonight, I'm not thirsty. Okay? I'm not thirsty. Plus, I have single malt scotch. Totally hydrating. You heard it here first. Okay? Make a note. When it's double wood finished, it's doubly hydrating. Did you know that? I don't think you knew that. It's okay. Okay, so that's my kind of thing on raw food. Like, it's just like, think about that too. As another option, like, okay, well, it's raw and the enzymes are still intact. And I've read things that say, yeah, that's a fantastic thing. And I've also read things that go, eh. Regardless, the more natural the food, the better. And when you don't cook it at 400 degrees and just, you know, totally cook the crap out of it, sure, okay. But regardless, think about also that other element of, is it natural still in its, is it even closer to its natural state because it still has the water intact? I mean, clearly when we're eating a cashew, it's not like hanging from the fruit. If you guys ever want to know what a cashew looks like, look it up. It'll blow your mind. It's like hanging underneath the cashew apple. Like it's this little thing hanging underneath, okay? But while it's still on the tree, guess what it has? Water in it. But then we pick it and we dehydrate it. Whether we do that at 118 or 250, the water is taken out of it so that it can last long. But that doesn't necessarily mean that it's easily assimilated by our bodies. And like most things, we can create an easier circumstance for our bodies by making things easier on our bodies. And one of those things is to eat food that has water in it. It's a little easier for our bodies to break down. Okay? Just throwing it out there. One of the steps I often work with clients to do is to have something watery with every meal. Now, that might mean that their first step is literally, and I'm not joking, and I've said it before, one stalk of celery or one slice of cucumber with whatever they eat. And I don't care what they eat while I'm working with them. I don't ever say, well, what did you have with that slice of cucumber? All I say is this the step you want to take on? Okay, great. That's what we're going to talk about. I don't care if you have a slice of cucumber and then a side of a beef. I don't care. Because the step at that time is the slice of cucumber. Okay? So let's just kind of be clear on that. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you rolling? Are we rolling? Okay. What else? Okay. As an aside, my new BFF who I talked about before, Lacey Davis, who reviewed my book favorably. And I'm not saying that's because, you know, that's why she's my BFF. Okay. But she sent me a copy of her new ebook, and in the interest of disclosure, I have zero connection to the ebook financially or otherwise. I just think she's cool and I like what she's doing and I want to support her. So I'm going to plug it and I'm not connected to it at all. Okay. Period. If I tell you something that I dig, it's because I dig it straight up. That's it. I gain nothing from this other than it reinforces the BFFness of her. Okay. Anyway, it's called Super Tasty Anti-Inflammatory. It's an ebook. It's on her site, superstrengthhealth.com. Go check it out. Support her. More voices in the world that are cool like hers and funny and bringing this humor and lightness to this process, the better. Okay? You know what I'm saying? superstrengthhealth.com. You know where to get it. Okay. What else? The Be Happier and Healthier race, the H&H race. It's kind of a non-starter. Honestly, I don't even know when the date is. It's I just know that I'm training for it. And I jest. But the fact of the matter is, I came up with the idea because I'm training, like I said, for 6 months for this 50. But I want you to ask yourself this week, can you lay out plans of daily action that start today and continue for the next year? And that, to me, I did an episode called Long View, so this is kind of revisiting that idea, which is the small step process is a long-term process. How long? As long as it takes. But it is a long-term process, longer than most people would like. And I wanted to touch on this today anyway because, and by the way, if anybody's ever interested in working with me on a private basis, go to SidGarzaHolman.com. Okay, so sometimes I talk about my clients because this is kind of just feeds my practice and the feeds the podcast and the podcast feeds my clients and it's what it is. The biggest challenge that I get and the reason why I absolutely love my job, okay, is that I'm working with people who've probably, well, not probably, the most people I work with are people who have been through the diets and are just friggin' over it. Just like, I don't want to do this anymore. They don't work. They finally know they don't work. So they're not tempted by it. They're just like, okay, fine. Fine. Let's go to the bald guy. See what he's got. Okay. And what the challenge though, is that while I'm working with them, you know, things come up during the month that we work together. And sometimes it's frustration because they get it conceptually that what I'm after with them, which is to learn how to take control of their lives, to learn how to think. But yet in that time, they might go, well, I thought I was going to lose. Like the old messaging comes creeping up, right? I love that. Because then I get to have a conversation with them about it, which is because we're breaking these kinds of behaviors, right? We're adding in new behaviors of actually self-nourishing, of actually self-esteem and self-confidence and self-control, of taking control of your life. We're building in those things, and we can do that because there's an honesty there. But the frustration is there only because we are marketed that it's possible to do these things faster. We're marketed to think that we can lose weight faster. And here's the thing, we can lose weight very, 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 very fast. I've never argued against that fact ever. I've never said, well, it takes a long time. It takes years to lose 10 pounds. You can probably lose 10 pounds in a month if you just drink juice all day. Certainly if you water fast. Probably if you went on Atkins diet. Okay? But there ain't many more ways to do it sustainably and healthy than what I'm talking about here. And so it's apples and oranges. I'm not talking about short-term weight loss because I'm talking about real, and I'm talking about sustainable, and I'm talking about long-term. And that's what I'm talking about. And more importantly, I ain't even talking about weight loss. I'm talking about health and happiness. One of the side effects, a healthy body at a healthy weight. But that's not what I'm talking about. That's just a side effect. Cool. Great. Good. Good on you. And that can be your goal, by the way. But you ain't going to come to me for it if that's the only thing you're about. If you're about making your life better in the process and the side effect of that at the, you know, later on down the line is a flat stomach, fan, frickin-tastic. Because I love having a flat stomach. I'm not going to lie to you. Okay? I see most guys my age. 40, 46, almost 46. Okay? I don't struggle. I pay attention, but I've built in to my life this ability. Am I perfect? Not by a long shot. It takes attention for me every day. It takes attention for me every day. I have to pay attention just like my clients do. I have to get up in the morning and think, I've trained myself over time to have the same kind of reaction to my life, which is, what's the best I can do here today? I get up in the morning, before I even think about it, I pour a big glass of water because that's just what I've done. I built in that behavior over time. Okay? So the happier and healthier race, like, what if I said, can you, you know, think of, just play this game with yourself tomorrow of, I'm going to do something for the next year. It sounds daunting, like the idea of thinking about something for a year. Because why? Because only because we're marketed 21 day this and 3 week, you know, 3 week, hello, 21 day, 3 weeks, six of one, half dozen of another, 10 day this and 30 day this and 3 months this. But never is there like a year diet plan. I'd almost have more respect for that, even though a year may not be enough to change entirely new behaviors after 46 years or 30 years or 25 years. But just play with the idea tomorrow. Just think about it. Don't do anything about it, but just think, God, could I start something and with the idea that it's going to take me a year? And then you think, a year out of my entire life, really not that long. Really not that long. But it seems long because it's not sexy and we're sold sexy. We're sold The Biggest Loser and we're sold the before and after shots. Okay? So just come back here every week, all right? And together we're going to stay in this game of just remembering every week what we're doing, why we're doing it, because we want to feel better and feel healthy and feel happy and still live in the modern world. And it freaking works. You know, I know because you guys email me and tell me that it does. podcast@sidgarzahillman.com. And I know it for myself. Okay? All right. So let's get to the subject of this week's episode. Okay? I'm really on the fence with this microphone. I don't know what to think about it, but it kind of pops in my headphones, kind of pissing me off, to be honest. Jeff bought it. He didn't know he bought it. Jeff Stanford. I told him today. I was like, by the way, you bought me a really nice microphone. He's like, oh yeah? I said, yeah. And that's the beauty of that. That's the Stanford in for you. Okay. They are cool folks. The episode of this episode is The Truth Is In There. And not to be crass, but essentially the small step approach to health and happiness is peeling away the crap over time. And with through small steps to get the truth of you. Okay? And what I mean by that is this. I've talked about and referred to lots of times, but maybe not recently. So if you're just joining me, here you go. I ask every one of my clients to write a paragraph of who they truly are in present tense. It's essentially who they want to be, but I have them write it in present tense. So if they're overweight and they want to be thin, they don't write, I want to be thin. They write, I am thin. They write, I am perfectly healthy. I am fit. If they want to eventually run a marathon, they don't write, I want to eventually run a marathon. They write, I run marathons. If they don't like their job and they want another job, they don't write, eventually I'm going to have another job. They write, here's the job I work right now. And I eat this way most of the time. And I exercise this way most of the time. And I feel really good. And I spend time with my friends doing X, Y, Z. And they write it as if it's a snapshot of their life today. And when they do that exercise, I tell them, and I'm telling you, that that is who you truly are. Because if it weren't who you truly are, you wouldn't have written it. And the fact that maybe today you're not living as that person just means you got some crap to peel away. And the small step approach simply sets you on that journey. And I cannot stand the word journey. So I apologize for that. The only job I got ever fired from was Domino's Pizza. The manager was Journey. His name was Journey. And I don't even dislike the band, by the way. But the word. I don't like the word. So we're going to call it Trek. The small step approach sets you on that Trek journey. And you begin the process of peeling away layers. But first and foremost is over time also is learning the truth that is already in you. And that is of who you truly are. That is not only who you truly are, but the things about you that are in conflict with who you truly are. That's the biggie. Okay? There are things about all of us, and I'm all about it's all about you. Okay? Nobody here listening to this is a victim, period. You guys all have it in your power to take small steps, period. It's all in you already. But it is difficult over time, especially, but right away even, to acknowledge the things about us sometimes that are in conflict with who we truly are. There's like two truths. There's the truth of who we truly are, and then there's the truth of how we're not living how we truly are. And I want you to understand both of those truths. I wanted to shed light on both of those truths. The first task of writing that thing in present tense is to get to the truth of who you truly are. But then the work begins. And the work that begins at that point is to begin to acknowledge the ways that you're not behaving who you truly are. And that's the stuff that we need to learn to look at without judgment. Truth without judgment. I'm going to just write that down for me. Truth without judgment. the reason why the small steps, my approach works is because I don't sit you down and go, here's all the crappy things about you, or tell me all the crappy things about you. There may be things about you that you know deep down that you're not ready to acknowledge, and that's okay. There is pain in this modern world, and sometimes out of sheer survival, we kind of push it down. Well, over time, the small step approach brings it back up, and it brings it back up easily and slowly, and not in ways that create conflict and just drama and tragedy in our lives. But in ways over time that we, little by little, incrementally, we go, huh, look at what I didn't, look what I do. Look at that. The end of the day, right? The text at the end of the day. That moment where you assess your day and go, oh, look at that. I acted that way. That was in conflict with, that's not who I am. That's not who I am. What a, does that not sound like a place of power? Not I'm a crappy person, but I'm an awesome person. I just didn't act that way today. I didn't act in line with who I truly am. That's not me. That's not me. Does that not sound better than that's me and I'm a crappy person? So I might as well throw in the freaking towel. How about the truth? You want to know a third truth? This is the truth. When you write about yourself in present tense like that, that's who you, why would you write that if that's not who you are? Why would you write, I'm a thin person, if you didn't value being thin? I've said this before. The truth of who you are, and then the truth of how you're not acting like who you are. When you have the strength over time, and this is what the small steps just hands you, man, because you're doing it, okay? I'm not promising you, like, you don't have, go to sleep, take the pill, you lose the weight while you sleep. Isn't that the dream? Isn't that the dream? Do we love the dream? Do we love the, we're just waiting. Can somebody please develop a pill that makes us thin while we sleep? How about a pill that delivers you self-confidence and self-esteem and health and happiness? Ain't gonna happen. There's no pill. Okay? The closest thing that can deliver you that with no effort is my t-shirt. Period. That's the closest thing. Imagine that. That thing won't even fit in a jar. Okay? It's too cool to fit in a jar. All right. The fact of the matter is we might be shocked to find out what we already, by the way, know about ourselves. And I don't want that shock to occur because that is stress. It comes down at the end of the day to personal strength and confidence. The more personal strength and confidence you can develop over time, that, by the way, a diet and quick fix ain't ever going to deliver for you. But the more strength and confidence you can build into yourself over time, the more you're able to handle about the things about yourself that, by the way, you already know on some level. But instead of it being a level way deep down, squashed way down, and you expend energy, by the way, keeping it down. Because you know what keeps it down? Distractions of lightbox food and distractions of nonstop technology and distractions of nonstop entertainment. That's what keeps those truths down. And nobody listening to this is bad because of it. It's painful. But again, all the more reason to ease your way in, if you want to, but ease your way into the process through small steps of gaining personal strength and confidence. And here's one thing you might be surprised to find out about yourself. All of you listening, because again, I know every single person who is listening. Okay, I've got a network of, I'm sitting in front of like 1,000 screens right now. This is my headquarters, and I can see what everybody's doing right now. Everybody. Except for the people in India. And New Zealand, I don't even watch because they're my buds. The shocker about, you want to know a shocker? Is that actually you can handle more than you think you know about yourself. And what you learn by small stepping is that the liberation of each moment learning that you can actually handle more than you thought you could. And I wonder, in my own experience, and I was thinking about this today when I was putting together the notes for this podcast, is I wonder if there's part of that in my desire to run a 50 miler, because I ain't trying to run it. I'm trying to finish it. And I'm trying to train for it in a way that is not stressful on my body or my life. And I was reading an ultra marathon book today, and it was the foreword was by Scott Jurek, and he refers to digging deep, like you dig deep. And I thought, isn't that, because I was already working on this podcast, and it was like, that's totally fitting. Like the truth is in there. It's just, it's, you got to dig deep, but you don't do that all at once. You take dirt, you know, a shovel of dirt by shovel of dirt, and you dig deep. And part of me in training for this 50 is to just see, you know, if I can go there, just to see. I just want to see. But it's digging deep. But it's digging deep at a speed that is appropriate and comfortable for you, so that you're not digging up things prematurely that you're not ready for. And at the same time, as you continue the process, you realize how much you are ready for. It's a pretty beautiful process. It's liberating, because you're liberated each time you realize that came up. I used to think I couldn't handle that, and now I realize I totally can handle that. And you learn how to look into the conflict of your lives and bring it up from the depths, put it out there, look at it, and send it on its freaking way. Because it doesn't have power over you anymore. You're not trying to keep anything down over time. You're liberated because you're letting it go. You're free from it. You peel away those layers of conflict of the ways that you're living your life that are in conflict with who you truly are. And as you peel those layers away, you are free of them. They're gone forever. Now, new conflicts may arise, but guess what? You've learned the process of removing conflict from your life. You've learned the process of looking at your life and not self-judging, but self-realizing. Acknowledging, going, that's not who I am. But what a place of power. What a place of power. That's not self-criticism. That's self-empowerment. You're acknowledging that you did things that aren't actually truly you. You're not saying you're a bad person. You're saying you're an awesome person who needs to change some behaviors so you can get back to that freaking awesome person. I got to get that out of the way. I got to get that behavior. I'm going to small step a new behavior to replace that behavior, because that's totally not who I am. I know who I am. The truth of who you are is in you already. It's in you. And you need to do the small steps and the thinking. This is why it all comes back to thinking, by the way. Okay? It ain't about diet plans. It ain't about anything external to you. It is you thinking, and I believe small steps is the single best way to incorporate thinking. Now, are there actual small steps that are more particular to thinking? Yes, meditation, journaling, things like that. But virtually any small step comes with thinking. You take a glass of water in the morning. That's your small step. Because it's part of your practice and your process, you're going to think when you do that. You're going to think, I'm doing something good for myself. I'm nourishing myself, because it's not me saying, take a glass of water. Because then it's just, Sid told me to, I'm going to take a glass of water and drink it. You're thinking, what's the next thing I can do that's really good for me? That's who I truly am. And the more things you add in, the more you become who you are, and the more layers get peeled away, and eventually you hit a place where you're like living most of the time right in line with who you are. I mean, this is the ramification of knowing these things and putting them out there. Because the ramification of knowing these things and squashing them down is stress on your body, living under stress, living in conflict with who you truly are. There is a price to pay for that. But the truth is already in you. You can search out in books and you can do all those things. But the fact of the matter is the goal of all these things and the goal of meditation and even the goal of listening to this podcast is because you want to live better in the world. And anything that helps you get to that point, I say fantastic. Even if it means going to another diet and another diet after that and another diet after that for the next 3 years until you finally wear out that part of you that goes, look, let's be truthful about this. This ain't working. And the reason why I was going to these diets is because I just wanted it as fast as possible. And I didn't really want to face the things in my life that are leading me to unhealthy behaviors. But now I'm freaking over it. And now I just want to live better. And that's part of the process too. But you want to know truth, it's in you. And it's not, I'm not being trite. I'm not like, I'm not like the new agey poster here, okay? It's there because you can write that paragraph today. You stop this podcast and at some point tonight, write down, throw it away if you're embarrassed. When you're done writing it, if you go, oh my God, this is, I don't want anybody to see this so new agey crappy, fine. Rip it up and throw it away. But go through the process. Write in first person. I am this, I am this, I do this, I do this. For most people, they go, holy crap, I didn't even know that. Just as much as you want to write about your job, your family, your relationship, stuff that is embarrassing even to admit that is truly you. And this is what I do as if it's happening right now. And see what that's like. Because that is the truth of you. And if 100% of the things you write on that paragraph are nothing like your life is today, then small step into it. Small step into making it more of a reality for you. And it's okay if it's 100% not. We're never going to be in balance, 100% in balance, by the way. So if you're 100% out of balance, fine. Begin the process. But the strength of just that act of acknowledging that, that's some self-confidence right there. That's some self-esteem right there. That is you looking at yourself and having the strength of character to go, man, I'm not living the in line with who I am. Okay, I got it. I got some work to do. I got some small step in to do because I want to live differently than I'm living right now. And I know that now. That's a truth about me. Okay? And this is, again, I'll end with this. This is the freedom of this process. This is breaking a cycle of the excitement of thinking you're going to get whatever it is you think is going to deliver you health and happiness, whether it be a flat stomach or whatever. You're breaking yourself of the cycle of thinking these things are going to deliver you anything that you really, 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 really want down deep. And instead, finally casting those things aside and taking on your life and living your life for real. And that is the freedom of this process. If there's one thing I'm trying to sell you, it's the process. Because it is, I've said it before, it is not sexy. It is not short term. It probably does not get you excited. It's not going to get everybody rah-rahing around you in 3 weeks because they can see all the external effects of this process. And it's precisely because of that that it is an internal process. If everybody is excited about what you're doing because they can see that you've lost all this weight in a super fast way, let that be a red flag to you. That's an outward-facing act. But if nobody even knows what you're doing, if nobody knows what you're doing unless you tell them, then that's because the truth is inside you and you are working these things out in your mind and it will be long lasting and it will be real and it will be independent of me, independent of any book, independent of any family member, and it will be 100% about you. And that's what's going to deliver you a life that you want to live in the modern world. All right? All right, you guys. I'm checking out today for now. Where will I be next week? I can't remember. Oh, yeah. Right back here with the Approaching the Natural podcast. All right. If you dig what I do, throw me an iTunes review. If you want to support the podcast, Get yourself a t-shirt for the love of God. Okay? Approaching the Natural t-shirt, please. I got mugs coming and all sorts of cool stuff. But a review would be just fantastic. All right? If you want to email me, podcast@sidgarzahillman.com. Try this stuff on for size. Okay? Just try it. If you're listening to this podcast because you don't really know, but well, tried something new, take 5 minutes tomorrow and think about a small step that hypothetically you might at some point add or maybe would do it hypothetically. Just 5 minutes. That's all I'm asking. Yeah, if I were doing this small step thing that's this kind of weird dude to talking about, I'd probably add this step in. That's something I could probably do every day. It's really minimal. Oh, okay. That's what I'm asking of you, to just try this on and then come back next week and maybe try it again. And then maybe that's where you're starting right now. And notice how that feels to make a decision about your own life and your own health and happiness. Just see how that feels. And then maybe shoot me an email and let me know how that goes. All right? All right, you guys. You're doing great. Keep on small stepping. Come back next week. And in the meantime, be well.
There are no roads out of Los Angeles. The inroads are converged to one. Except for the pretty faced one.